first speaker. This will be Chuck from the Clean and Swing Group.
Hi, my name is Chuck and I'm an addict. Hello, everyone. We've got a little bit of a crowd here this morning. That's great. Tough waking up here on Sundays, especially when we got the weather we got. But it's a great day to be clean as usual, as always. And this morning I found myself walking around this place, not having any gratitude yet, and just looking at, up in my head, stuck. But then I go grab a book, and I get centered, and I pray, and things just return very quickly, and I'm really thankful for that. I got asked to speak about We Do Recover, which is a reading in the basic text, and it's like a way of life for, a lot of people in this program and fellowship, inside and outside of rooms. And something my sponsor always told me was like, we were always real big on definitions, and I think, the definition of the word we in the very first step, it starts, 11 out of 12 steps. It just implies for me today, and I need to, keep this in mind all the time, that I can't do this alone. If I get jammed up or something, I need to reach out for help, and it's available to me at all times, on the phone, at a meeting, after a meeting, on the internet. What a great tool, huh? The internet. I was just talking with somebody earlier too this morning about being caught up on social networking and like how it's a manifestation of my disease itself. But it can be beneficial still, for my recovery if I'm using it correctly. And one of my bookmarks in my book says, I have the We Do Recover. It's like a little laminated piece. I'm just gonna really. I'm going to quickly break it down as best I can, not only for myself, but for somebody else who might be listening to this. During my, struggle with active addiction, there was always a piece of me that said, that I heard inside my own mind say, you can make it, you can do this by still, getting high or whatever and using and being okay with it. That never worked out because I proved it to myself time and time again, and I reached those bitter ends as a result. Excuse me. I reached those bitter ends, by trial and error, and lots of trial and lots of error. And I couldn't go on anymore because I became that desperate, beaten and broken. And I was mainly, a fractured human being, like it says in the basic text. My personality was fractured. I couldn't communicate with you, with coworkers, with my family members. I was going into isolation mode, and there was no hope for any recourse because I just, I didn't know the answers. I didn't have any. I went a month before I came in back into these rooms. Like I had some exposure to it. I went a month without even using, but feeling probably the worst miserable feelings of my life. Just dreading every single day, feeling like I wanted to die, but not willing to do anything about it. That was my bitter ends, like in a basement by myself, alone. Something happened to me, in the process, and it was amazing. It was a couple different things. My aunt writing me a letter. I shared about this the other day because I had forgotten it. I forgot about things that got me to this point and got me back in these rooms. I got a scathing letter from my aunt, my mother buying me a book, finally going back to the YDI group in Indiana, PA on a Friday night at 8 o'clock, going to that very first meeting again and seeing the people that I had seen years ago and then me asking a guy to sponsor me. That's where, I guess, the road, the bitter end part of the road ended. And recovery began for me because I was willing to do something about it and do something about my problem, mainly. You know, it says we all face the same dilemma. And I used to ask myself, like, what can I do? Am I destined to die from this disease? But I had already been to jail. I had already been to a couple of different institutions. You know, and I already felt pretty much dead inside. So I kind of equated that and, with death. Just feeling empty, worthless, helpless. Until I found the people in Narcotics Anonymous and in the rooms and the meetings and just the love that I've been shown here. It's just indescribable to me today. The only thing I can do is just continue to give it away freely, like it was given to me. And sometimes people don't want that message. They don't want to hear that stuff. And that's their process. That's where they're at. You know, I'm still trying to remain a part of the solution regardless. Because I know people did it for me when my ears were closed. So, and when I was high in the meeting, or when I was going to get high after a meeting directly, I would go to Friday Y Diet meeting in Indiana and immediately go get high. Immediately. Like, I couldn't wait. I can also remember being at that meeting, sharing, saying that I had a year clean and not even having anywhere near even a couple weeks. Just, the disease had, at that point was, it was really deceiving me and I thought I could deceive others. Yeah, that doesn't work out too well. People see that stuff and especially addicts. We got pretty trained eyes, but the dilemma is pretty much the same for all of us. Like, it's the end. We know it. What are we going to do, or how do I get help? Some, aren't even fortunate to have the last choice. They die. I've seen addicts die here lately, and it's always going to unfortunately continue to happen. The worst possible death, is a spiritual death for me, though. A physical death means I would just be crossing over, but to die spiritually again would be to use. And I don't think I would be, if I was lucky, I would die. Because, I don't know, just not being there. It's just the feeling of being there and the dread and just the utter remorse and the emptiness inside. But I came in here and I got a new way to live, clean, without anything. Even when I'm in pain or severe pain or going through an injury or an illness or surgery, because I've been through those types of things in my recovery. I've come through them together with you guys. Without you people, I couldn't do this. The hope that you provide. I like to be an inspiration to other people. But it's the other people that are an inspiration to me that give me the spirit to continue on in this thing, even when sometimes like I don't want to. I think a big tool for me in sticking around was the In Times of Illness pamphlet. If you don't have one, get one. Because if you stick to that and you're going through some type of illness or surgery and stuff, that's when recovery has to become paramount and it has to become indispensable. And you have to get up on your horse and really communicate with people, really be honest, rigorous honesty that it talks about in here. I'm fortunate today, like it says in the reading. I know I've been afforded a new way of life just by making some simple choices. Some choices that were opposite of my first thought. Some choices that I like to enjoy making today. Because they're good for me. They're not, me sticking a needle in my face or, being, me sticking something in my mouth, whatever, to get out of myself. I can squarely stay focused in the day because I know that even on my sickest day and I'm acting out and I'm feeling all kinds of hatred or whatever negative feelings going on, I still do recover. I can turn this around. We can turn this around. I just had to realize, and I usually say it at the end of the reading, when this reading is read, I stick my hand out and I see, and I hear, it's available to us all, It's available to the girl that's 18 years old that's at her first meeting. It's available to the person with 35 years who doesn't think, who just got fired from their job, who doesn't think they can make it another day because they're humiliated and shamed and hurt. It's available to the person on Suboxone that comes into the rooms and gets shunned. It's available to the heroin addict. It's available to us all, not just one, not just segregated peoples, regardless of race, creed, religion, sex, identity, national origin. It don't matter. Come, show up, and stay. And that's what I try to do when I'm at my home group and when I'm at other meetings. Because the meetings I go to are filled with folks like that. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't know if they want to stay from time to time or not. But I just keep telling them, we do get this if you stick around, just like I was told. And I never believed it, never would have believed it, but I do today. I thank God I believe today. And I thank you guys. And one of the things, I think that one of the biggest things, I'm going to probably wrap up with this, is, you know, our steps itself, is our program itself is the steps, and it says that it's simple, and it's spiritual, and it's not religious. I love the fact that it's simple, because I'm complicated. I complicated everything. I love drama. There's not too many addicts that I don't know that love drama. I heard a lot of people sharing last night about the drama that they created in their own lives. And I can still go there today, clean, you know, with many years clean. My clean date's 4/28 of 04. I realized this last night that I only had 2 months less than a friend of mine who I shared a lot of early recovery with in the same town, who's a friend of mine today, you know, someone that I can, you know, trust and talk to and share information with. I think, you know, without those types of people that I built those bonds with early on, they're still in my recovery today. I don't know if I could be talking to you guys today. I really don't. And be clean. Simple program for complicated people, and I'm, you know, that doesn't discount me one bit. But keeping it simple means easy, does it? It means doing the step you're on. It means praying. It means doing the five, you know, pretty much essential things that it takes around here, and that's going to meetings, praying, you know, talking to your sponsor, calling other addicts, helping somebody else, you know, getting a service commitment, you know, and just keep coming back no matter what. I don't know if that was six things or what, but there's lots of other things too, but those things are indispensable. And if I keep it that simple, and if I keep my prayer simple, if I'm praying for other people, not just myself, because I don't like a lot of selfish prayer. Selfish prayers were for when I was in addiction, you know, and I was foxholing it and looking for an out, you know. I don't like the term jackpot. Jackpot to me equals winnings. I hear a lot of people use it in a negative fashion, but I look at the word jams. You know, I just kept getting in hairy, sticky, dumb situations that I had no out for. So I don't have to do that anymore. Especially when I'm keeping it simple, I'm honest. I'm not lying about it. I'm being real with you, myself, and God, and my sponsor. Yeah, and it works. It's worked from day one when I practice it correctly. And I like the fact that it's not religious. Like, I have a God of my understanding today that that I call God, that I call upon and use it multiple times daily, not for selfish whims, but to help others. You know, to look at a friend of mine whose father is struggling, you know, to hold on to his life right now. I think he's maybe reached the end of his life, you know, and that's somebody I got to pray for. Praying for the addict to still stay. Like, I genuinely have faith and pray for those people to stick and stay today and to come back another time and just give it another try. Whether that happens or not is not in my hands, and I'm okay with that. But again, I'm just like, We Do Recover tells me that somebody did their part so that I could stay here, and I got to do my part to help somebody else maybe stay here too, just and get another day clean. So I appreciate the committee for allowing me to speak today, and thank you guys. And my name is Chuck, and I'm an addict.
Thanks, Chuck. I'd like to know. introduce the second speaker, which will be Rick Yu from the Free Yourself group of AA.
I'm an addict named Rick.
Hi, Rick.
And I say that with pleasure and pride today. You know, when I first came into the program, I always introduced myself as Rick, and I am an addict. You know, because I knew who Rick was, but I wasn't sure if I was an addict. Today, I know I am an addict, and I'm learning who Rick is. The first meeting I came to, the only thing that stuck with me was the reading, We Do Recover. Because it gave me hope that someday I could get an idea of how to live a normal life. When I hit my final bottom, yeah, I knew I needed help. I asked around, and I was referred to go to Narcotics Anonymous. And me being me, Narcotics Anonymous, okay, think about this. The only experience you had with a 12-step program was you dated the girl in the other fellowship. And they would come out of their meetings and walk right across the street and go into a bar. And they ordered all kinds of fancy drinks. So I thought, okay, this is a place that's going to teach me how to use drugs better. You know, where after a weekend binge, I will still have money. And I will get more and pay less. My first meeting that I went to was, thank God it's NA in Johnstown. I'm standing outside the door looking in. There's a gentleman sitting behind a desk, and he looked out, and he says, you're at the right place, come on in. And I walked in, and he gave me a hug, and it was like, okay, yeah, I'm the type, guys didn't hug guys unless you were one of them. So, I mean, the poor guy took his life into his hand, giving me that hug, but that part sticks with you. And he handed me a reading to read. We Do Recover. And I sat there. I didn't pay attention the whole meeting. You know, I could tell you what the three topics were, and I could tell you my thoughts when they named the topics, but that ain't part of this one. You know, I sat there reading We Do Recover. You know, and I realized, yeah, I used to feel like I was human. You know, there's no place to go but up, I hope. And then I was given a basic text to read, and I found that section in it, and I was reading, and it said, oh, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we do resist change. You know, because, well, we should start. In order to recover, the first thing you have to do is surrender. But surrender means changing the way you live. I wasn't ready for that. I wanted to be well, but I wanted to continue to do what I wanted to do. And we would go on. Like Chuck said, there were numerous meetings. Before I walked in, I was calling the dope dealer to, okay, this thing's over at 9. I'll see you at 9:15. There were meetings that he would text me, you know, at 8:45, and I'm outside the door, and I'd just get up and leave because I wasn't ready for the recovery process. It was a long time before I was ready. You know, I tell people, and I'm not proud of the fact that it's like this, but I had enough 24-hour key tags, we could have plastered that side of the wall with them. Yeah, but that was me. You know, picking up 6 24-hour key tags in a week, you know, didn't mean I was doing something right. I was not doing anything to recover. It got to the point smoking crack, just didn't do it anymore. You know, manipulating other people didn't do it anymore. You know, it's time to grow up. I will tell you this much, don't try to grow up in area service. Because I came back in off of a binge with 3 days clean and got appointed to GSR because I had a car. And went to my first area service meeting the next day. And when I was done 4 hours later, the only thoughts through my mind, going through my mind, is all these people are liars. There's no way they could sit and yell at each other for 4 hours and be clean. Because when I left my first area service meeting, the only thing I wanted to do was get high to relieve all the frustration from it. The process began when I got tired of burying friends. You know, people that I used with. It just reached a point, you know, where I'm next. And I didn't want to be that addict that died so somebody else could live. So I started taking everything seriously. You know, I read just for today every day. I read at least a chapter in the basic text every day. And I threw myself into the program. I can remember, you know, and I don't want to get anybody heart sick if you're sitting at 11 months or that. 1 year was fantastic. That 13th month was the hardest year of my life. Now, but because I had listened to people and realized I couldn't do this by myself. You know, and I mean, Miss Kitty said it last night. She made it a me program. With me, it was an I. You know, I tried to do everything, and it wasn't until I involved other people in my process that recovery became possible for me. It was the type of thing, you know, if it said call somebody when you did, I'd leave it ring twice. If you didn't answer your phone, I hung up. Because you didn't need to be bothered by me because you weren't willing to answer your phone on two rings. I never did that when I was calling the dope dealer. You know, in fact, I'd burn up his phone until he answered. But, you know, for getting help from another addict, it was, okay, two rings, they're not there. Call the next guy. You know, I didn't give the program a chance to work. You know, learning to live in reality as opposed to fantasy. You know, it was hard to do. You know, I could fantasize. Yeah, I can hold a job. I can pay taxes. That's a productive member of society. And I can still smoke crack. No, you can't. Because with me, yes, I could continue to go to work. Yes, I could continue to pay taxes and vote and everything else that a productive member does. But sooner or later, the drug became more important again. And at that point, you're no longer productive. You know, you cannot be a recreational user. You can't go on the methadone maintenance program, or at least I couldn't, because it was still keeping me where I was at. When I broadened my we to include people that didn't just live in Johnstown, that just didn't live in the Laurel Mountain Highlands area, you've brought in so many more experiences. Now, we always state that, you know, if you stick around long enough, you'll hear your story from someone. Well, if you stick around long enough, you're going to hear your story in some way, shape, or form from everyone. because we've all done this together. You know, when we were out using, we all had the same experiences. Well, it's the same in recovery. You know, it's... we're all going to go through periods, you know, where a relative dies or a friend dies. Guess what? There's a lot of people out there that can help you. We're all going to go through job loss or, you know, change in financial position. You know, and it's just going to be that. There's always somebody there that can help. That's why it says we do recover, not I can recover. Yeah, I can't, but I can't do it without you. There's another chapter in the basic text that I really enjoy, and it was me to a T. And I can't even remember the name of it right now because of drawing a blank, but it's right after we do recovery. Oh, it's recovery and relapse. There's a line in it. You know, you can't save your ass and your face at the same time. Like Chuck had said, chairing meetings, you know, with a year, saying he had a year, and I accepted a 9-month key tag even though I used the day before because I was too afraid to let everybody know that I slipped again. Now, the longer you stay in the program, the more you learn. You can't get help if you don't ask for it. Now, if you think it's okay to sit in the back and not say a word, not reach out for help, not let somebody know where you're at. Change. You got to let people... we can't help you if you don't let us know that you need help. We know you need help because you came in, but we don't know what the problem is. You know, it's... the thing... by myself, could I have recovered? Eventually, maybe. But with the help of everybody in these rooms, it became a lot quicker process. You know, there are very few people that come into the program on January 1st of a certain year and 10 years later still have that same clean date. A lot of them are like me, you know. There's 366 possible days in a 4-year period, you know, counting leap, you know, February 29th, that you could be clean. I had 313 different clean dates. You know, my home group, my initial home group, got tired of putting my clean date down in pen. So they started using pencil so they could just erase it and put in a new day. And it was because I wouldn't listen to anybody. I wouldn't reach out. I sponsor people today, and I get a lot out of it because they remind me what I was like when I came in. You know, and I learn more, you know, from a person with 24 hours clean than I do from myself because they remind me what it was like. You know, there is hope for us all. We have to be willing to make the effort. You know, when they tell us to get phone numbers. Yeah, you know, I don't ask people for phone numbers anymore. I give my phone number to people. You know, because some of us are too damn afraid to ask a stranger. You're not realizing when we're in these rooms together, we're not strangers. We know everybody. We might not know their name, but we know who they are. Yeah. I tell my sponsees, if you want to recover, listen to other people besides me. You know, not everything I tell you is going to work for you. But if you listen to enough other people, you're going to get what you need. That's why it's a we program. It's nice and simplistic. You know, it keeps us involved. The more you're involved, the better it is. Because we become ingrained with the program. You know, to where it's, you hate going out to get high. You know, the reading sums up the entire program. We can recover if we get the chance. Now, it's not an easy process because we complicate everything. But if we keep it at its most simple, fundamental state, even somebody like Edgar can recover. Now, Edgar could do it. I did it. You know, it's what this is about. Edgar didn't do it by himself. I didn't do it. Steve didn't do it. Jimmy didn't do it by themselves. Yeah, we had help. You know, that's what it's about in this program. That's why we can recover today. Now, and I'm going to be pretty much done with that, but I like ending things on, you know, a really positive note. And one of my favorite stories is about a gentleman walking through a jungle in India. He's walking and he's looking around enjoying the scenery, and he sees this tiger following him step by step. You know, and the tiger is licking his chops. You know, he sees dinner. So the gentleman starts increasing his pace. Tiger increases his pace. The gentleman starts running and he comes to a cliff. You know, and it's like, I could stay here and be eaten, jump and die, or try to climb down. So he starts climbing down the cliff. And he gets about halfway down and he looks down, and there's a tiger at the bottom of the cliff waiting for him. Now he's in a pretty good dilemma. He can't go up or he can't go down. And he looks in front of him, and there is a strawberry growing on this plant. The reddest strawberry he's ever seen. He picks it up and he looks at it. He takes a bite out of the sweetest, juiciest strawberry he's ever tasted. Yeah, and there is a moral to this. You can't run from your past. You can't predict your future, but you can savor the moment. I'm an addict named Rick. Thanks, Rick.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, faith, and hope with us. Can we please have the reading adjust for today?
Hi, Ace.
Hey, Ace.
What's for today? Tell yourself. What's for today? My thoughts will be in my recovery. Living and enjoying life and well-being. So for today, I want to make this comment in NA to believe in me and want to help me. So for today, I will try to follow what you're supposed to do. So for today, if you're running, I will try to give it a better.
Thanks, Jake. We have a nice way of closing. We'll form a circle and close with the wee version of the strike beat prayer. Which is fair too.
How are you, sir?
I am excellent. How are you?
Good. I didn't know how to turn that off, but I didn't.